Good evening. I would like to call tonight's adjourned September meeting for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018 at 6 p.m. to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulick?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Grader?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Thank you.
Full house.
Nice to see everybody here, yeah. May I have a motion to approve the previous month's minutes as written?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All ayes, thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. Any special recognition? Thank you. Citizens to be heard. Record show there's no one. Executive session at this point?
No, sir.
Old business? New business. All right. May I have a motion to approve the HIDA Narsent Domestic Highway Enforcement Initiative Administrative Assistance Service Agreement with Kendall County as the fiduciary agent effective October 15, 2018 through October 14, 2019 for $70,000.
So moved.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Prochaska. Commander,
you very want? Nice.
You think about that. Yeah.
Sergeant, no more. Do you want to add anything about this, or?
I didn't have anything to add, sir, unless you had any questions.
Okay, Mr. Purcell.
I'm just curious, and you may or may not know. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. What is a Narsent Domestic Highway Enforcement Initiative Administration Assistance Service?
Like you don't know.
Try asking that.
I do have general duties listed in the agreement here.
So you don't know off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no. I don't know what that acronym means.
Is Narsent like narcotics intel? What is that?
I will have to look it up.
Don't worry about it. We still got our 2%, right?
Do you have any idea how fired you are?
Absolutely, sir. About $1,400.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. We can help pay for this meeting tonight.
All right. Roll call.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Thank you. All ayes. Motion carries. Next, may I have a motion to approve the services agreement between Mesereau Insurance Services, Inc. and Kendall County for a 3-year term with 2 option 1-year extensions in an amount of $49,000 per year.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion?
What is this supposed to do for this? What are they going to do? For $50,000 a year? What is their purpose?
Mr. Keppel or Ms. Kulick?
I will let Mr. Keppel.
Currently, our broker is Wine Surgy. We had the RFQ go out to get back the responses for the brokerage services. They help us buy our property, liability, workers' comp insurance, and then throughout the year, they assist us in dealing with the insurance company, filing claims, making sure that all of our property, new vehicles get listed properly on insurance forms, assist us in that process. But the biggest thing they do is to help us annually renew our insurance, property liability, workers' comp.
They do also some, throughout the year, some consultation and some evaluation of our coverage.
And if you'll recall at the, it's the August 16th Committee of the Whole, there's consensus by the committee to direct staff to proceed with negotiations with Alliant Mesereau for a 3-year contract with the possibility of 2 1-year extensions. As well. Mr. Purcell.
The committee hall you referenced, I was not there, and we had this discussion. So I called this company, and I was a little confused how they came up with their price, because when they gave a presentation in June, 2 months prior, they had no price. When we discussed this at committee 2 nights earlier than that committee hall meeting, they had no price. And So I called them and asked, and they said they were asked to come up with a price. And I said, that's fair. You know what? We need to get a price from you so we can compare. They happen to be like $500 or $1,000 less than the one of the other companies we are considering. So I asked the gentleman how he came up with that price, and he said, well, we listened. Or no, he didn't say we listened. We looked at the minutes to find out what the other group was charging. And if, in fact, that's what he did, I struggle with that we let everyone else lay out their price, and then this gentleman can come up with a price. But what I really struggle with even more than that is I looked in the minutes, and nowhere did I see what the price was in the minutes. It wasn't listed anywhere. So I'm questioning the story he told me, and for that reason, I'm not going to support this.
Well, I appreciate that comment, and you know the minutes do say that when we discussed it last time, and I don't know about the second part of what you said, whether that's true or that's not true, but Mr. Keppel did report that he received the email that day proposing a fixed annual cost of $49,000 for a 5-year contract. and then in the minutes, it does say this information was not provided in their bid proposal or offered during the bidder's presentation at the Admin HR Cow meeting in June of 2018. And then there was the discussion on the risk pool management participation by all three companies, concerns, questions by members following the presentation, term length, and possible options. I believe in talking with Member Prochaska that he had found language or had read the language that said that it wasn't a specific requirement as to the dollar amount, but you are correct that, you know, the other two finalists anyway did have a number in there. Mr. Prochaska, you have that in front of you?
I'm pulling it up right now, so give me 30 seconds.
I have language in our same proposal, RFQ, that says compensation is required, so.
Yeah.
You know, if they were confused by that, my question really is, you know, again, the process, everyone else laid theirs out. If the group wants to go with this group, that's fine. But quite honestly, I question what this guy told me. And if they win, I will question him when he's here. He said he got it out of the minutes. He told me that personally. He didn't say anything else. He told me he got it out of the minutes. I looked at the minutes. I had staff look in the minutes. Nowhere in the minutes was the price laid out. I don't know where he got it, but I don't believe the guy was giving me the full story. And I'm not real comfortable with that. I think if we're going to work with somebody for 3, 4, or 5 years, they should play by the same rules as everyone else, and they should be up front with me. And I question whether they were. So.
Appreciate that. Ms. Prochaska?
The language that was inquired on says, well, I just had it once again. It says, for compensation and term on section 4.0, provide desired contract length and propose your compensation for broker services.
So it is
I understand members for self complaints on that, and I would prefer them to have it up front with. But in their bid, they said we're open to negotiation. So they proposed anything and everything for their services. I could read it that way. I would prefer, though, they would have put it in up front.
Thank you. Ms. Henricks.
I don't like that at all.
Don't like which?
I don't like the way that price was arrived at all. That makes me uncomfortable. Just because it's just the appearance of impropriety, even if it wasn't strictly.
What was the impropriety? I mean, if it
well,
was at a public meeting.
Saying that you're willing to negotiate is very different than knowing what everybody else has already bid and then offering a price. And that's what I mean, if I'm understanding this correctly, that's the order of operations that happened here. Is that correct?
I don't know that that's correct.
You told me that.
Ms. Kulik.
You know, I just wanted to point out two things, because I've been, you know, back and forth with this a couple times as well. But we, as an admin committee, HR admin committee, specifically decided to do an RFQ rather than RFP because we did not want cost to be the concern or the only factor that we were going to take into consideration. And so I find that less of a concern than I do what their qualifications and reputation bring to the table. So I just felt like I needed to say that. And we as a group, because I was actually, you know, looking back at Committee of the Whole, in my own mind, at Committee of the Whole, we as a group unanimously agreed to move forward with negotiating a contract with them. And that was, price aside, we had decided that was the direction we were moving.
Mr. Prochaska.
More in order of the legal counsel, but with an RFQ as opposed to an RFP is request for qualifications. So when we receive an RFQ from different firms, we don't need to consider the price as the last, best, and final. We can then negotiate.
Under your Illinois County's code,
okay,
if you are looking at a service that is subject to the competitive bidding requirements,
okay,
then you have to award the contract to the lowest responsible bidder. An invitation for bid would be under the competitive bidding process. If the board has taken the position that this type of an insurance broker is a professional service for which it is therefore exempt from the competitive bidding requirements, which is what I'm assuming you all decided in by issuing a request for qualifications, that is not subject to the competitive bidding requirements then. And the board can elect to choose whomever they want. It doesn't necessarily have to be based on price. That can certainly be consideration, but that is up to the board.
Ms. Gilmore.
Well, to me, it isn't the price that we're really should be concerned about. It's the fact that it, I think it's somewhat unethical that he was not truthful with Member Purcell's phone conversation with him. And that was the same argument that people on this board gave for not liking to go with Wine Sergi. They felt that was a little bit odd that he brought along Todd with him on the day that he came in for his presentation. So this, to me, is a similar
I guess I don't understand. What's the unethical activity that took place?
Well, I think he wasn't truthful.
As far as?
If he said he read it in the minutes, but it isn't in the minutes.
But we don't know that. That is what he said. I mean, I understand that you have a conversation with him, but I wasn't there, and I don't know
what he said. I'm telling you, he said it, and that's you can believe me or not. He said it, and whether you want to vote for the guy or not, that's your choice. But he said it, and quite frankly, it's not in the minutes. So I will, if we pass it when he comes here, I'll ask him. But I'll say, show me in the minutes. I won't trust the guy. I'll just tell you that.
Ms. Lars.
Do we have a time frame when we have to have someone in place for this, or do we have a little bit of leeway? If it doesn't pass today.
I spoke with ICMT about this. So I was starting to get a little worried myself because we have to have it at a price for budget as well, which is a little bit bigger of a concern than getting the contract done. He said he could do it in November to get our contract for next year's insurance. But that's the latest that ICMT has done a new insurance proposal. But right now we don't have a really good number for budget because we don't have a broker. So that's the two things that are in the way of not having a broker.
Mr. Gallagher?
Was the previous broker was on a percent base, and this is actually a lower than, am I correct in that?
I believe that it was near 8% is what Wine Sergi was charging, and our renewal was right around $750,000, I believe, last year for the premium. So it's this one is lower, but it's close.
Well, it's lower,
and we chose them over the previous.
And we don't know what other hidden costs there are, just like with our health insurance, where all of a sudden we found out that there was, commission fees that were being charged, and we had no idea. So the cost was even more of savings,
Yeah, and that was for actually ancillary coverage. So it wasn't special fees or anything. It was actually percentage based on premium for additional coverage.
Yeah, there's definitely a lower money. I'm not arguing that at all. I have no quarrel with saving that. Just how we go about doing it. It's really their word.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Welcome.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Hi.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks? Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
No.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
7 ayes, 2 nays, 1 abstain.
All right. 7-2-1. It's always good to get a little split. Yeah, exactly. The Cleveland Browns here. All right, standing committee reports, facilities, Mr. Davidson.
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to approve a 48-month supply contract starting June 2019.
motion by Davidson, seconded by Kellogg. And what is this exactly? Want to explain? Chris, do you want to come on?
Chris, come on up and explain this all out. This is our energy purchase that we're contracting out.
Chris Childers, Progressive Energy Group. This for your electricity contract is up in June of 2019, so it expires mid-budget. We've baked these savings, which will be about $22,000 per year, into Jim's budget that he's proposing, and it will give you the flexibility should the solar field come to fruition, that it gives flexibility that we don't have to worry about sacrificing any other potential savings off the solar field. So one other note, it took about 3 weeks to negotiate the contract. I have never seen Constellation, and we had this problem last time with Constellation, make modifications to their agreement like they did here. I really got to give a shout out to Annie Knight, who provided very logical explanations, and they modified their agreement. Never seen them do it. That doesn't mean there weren't a couple other open issues, but I can tell you what, she did an excellent job. So you got $22,000 a year savings, and it's locked in for the 4 years.
Mr. Davidson?
So in other words, for our fiscal year 2019, we should save approximately $11,000 a
year. About a half a year. Yeah, maybe a little bit more because you use more electricity during the summer. So, and we've got that in the budget for next year.
Mr. Prezell?
So this is a savings compared to the current rates?
This is a saving compared to the current rates, that's correct.
How long were those current rates in place for?
Until June of 2019.
From when? When did those start?
That was a 3-year agreement.
So that was within the window that the company stood here and told us that electric rates would continue to go up every year? Oh, okay. I always forget about that, and then you remind me with these great savings that
we
can ever see.
Yeah, it's we still have that inversion going in the market.
At that point, we can opt out at any point? Or
no, you're locked in for the 4 years. Okay. But I guess the key thing here, and we looked at 1, 2, 3, 4-year rates. The price was cheaper on a 4-year rate than it was a 2-year or 3-2 or 1-year rate. And the reason why is we've got this inversion in the marketplace where the future cost of energy is cheaper than the current cost. I stand here to tell you I've never seen it before. And it's been going on for about a year. And so it's good for you guys. But when that market rebounds, the future cost is going to – I've never seen it where a future price is cheaper than the current price. And I believe it's this energy independence, which keeps on being talked about at down in Washington, that the markets are the reason why the price is lower.
It's over in Washington.
Well, we better sign this thing then.
It's over, not down.
Oh, over. Oh, that's right. Okay. I thought you were seeing some new news that came out here.
She's not directionally challenged.
I always learn something when I come here.
One quick question for you. Have you heard anything on the grants, whether they'll be to state or to local governments or to private entities? Or
I have not. When I get done here, I'm going to head over to the Yorkville Economic Development meeting to talk with them about the solar field.
Oh.
You got that notification that I sent out to all you guys about we're trying to get them to prioritize if there's a tie, that you give it to municipalities or nonprofits. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know. But I can tell you that some state senators sent it. We sent it from Fox Metro, which I'm on the board of, and then your letter from the board. So to try to get them to understand, this money was collected by the state from residential people. To the tune of, in the area, we're in the Fox Metro District, we talked about $27 million of money in that fund was collected from residential and businesses.
Please,
so therefore, we think...
Congratulations to the hall.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
He's talking to you, Chris.
No, he was scolding.
Mr. Davidson.
Chris, with this, locking this figure and all that, affect our numbers with the solar and the generator contract
still get that benefit. If you get the solar field, you'll still get more benefit on top of that because your capacity cost will go down and your ComEd delivery cost will go down. So it'll be on top. That'll be additional savings of $160,000.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I'll head over and I'll keep you guys posted.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Finance Committee, Ms. Kulik.
All right. I would like to make a motion to approve claims in an amount not to exceed $719,015.62.
So. Motion by Kulik, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
All ayes, thank you. And for this next item, Member Purcell has indicated that he will be abstaining from this discussion and shall be treated as though he is not here under allowed under our board rules of order.
All right, that said, I'll make a motion to approve coroner claims in an amount not to exceed $1,269.89.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Kellogg. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. And before I move on, I want to thank everybody who came and participated in the budget hearings this last week. I thought they were really productive, and I thought it was a good discussion that we had, and good that we had. I think most of the board was able to make it at least for a portion of the time. I know it was a lot of time and a lot of hours to put in, and time missed at doing other things, but I think it was helpful, especially given you know, the state of our shrinking dollars, you know, coming to the county. So thanks to everybody for that. And I don't know if anybody had anything. John, do you have anything you want to say as far as the budget discussions go? I know that I don't think there's been another finance committee since then.
No, I think I'd like to do another finance committee at all if we can make that work. I think it was good to have others' input. And, you know, the next step is going to be trying to make some decisions. Can we afford everything? What can't we afford? We can't afford everything. We're at a $2 million deficit now. Depends on insurance numbers. That might come down a little bit more, but we still have a ways to go, so it'd be nice to have everyone's thoughts on what we should be doing. And when we can figure out another meeting day, we'll have another committee hall, if that'll work.
Sounds good. Scott, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, we're hoping to get the September numbers in for better revenue projections for next year. That should help out a lot as well.
When do we expect to have?
This week, usually.
They're pretty quick. So, yeah.
Okay.
Might be the end of the week. Usually end of this week.
So by cow, we should have an idea?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just know we have a long cow agenda, or so I've been told. Right?
Yeah.
And I believe we got the
it's on there. Budget discussions is still on there.
We got the insurance taken care of. We don't need to worry about that now.
One more thing.
Or the broker, I should say.
Anything else? Okay. Economic development, Ms. Hendricks.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the resolution of the Manufacturing Day Commission, rather, from October 5th of 2018. But if I could ask someone else to read it, because I'm already losing my voice.
Member Purcell, would you like to read it?
Sure, I just want to read it.
Thank you.
Radio
voice. Thank you.
Oh, can I have a motion in a second?
Oh,
Ms. Hendricks, seconded by Kulik. Mr. Purcell.
Radio voice, let's hear it.
Whereas manufacturing is a critical component of Kendall County with more than 60 manufacturing firms operating and employing over 3,000 people, and manufacturing jobs provide an annual compensation which is significantly higher than the state's average wage, and manufacturing jobs enable families to realize the dreams of owning a home, educating children, and enjoying a secure retirement, and whereas Kendall County recognizes the importance of a thriving manufacturing sector, works to fuel economic growth, builds a future for our citizens, and is a strong representative of manufacturing in our state, and Kendall County's prosperity depends on the education and vocational opportunities that align with manufacturers' skilled labor needs, and whereas National Manufacturing Day, trademark, will be held on Friday, October 5th, 2018, as a celebration of modern manufacturing meant to inspire the next generations of manufacturers, and Kendall County desires to extend this manufacturing celebration and educational opportunity through the entire month of October to allow companies and community and economic development organizations to plan related events that work for them, work best for them. And whereas manufacturers pay millions of dollars annually to support public education, law enforcement, emergency preparedness, public works, and other essential services, now, therefore, be it resolved by the Governing Board of Kendall County, Section 1, October 5th, 2018, is proclaimed to be Manufacturing Day in Kendall County, adopted by the County Board the second day of October 2018.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Any discussion on that item? Thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. October 5th shall be Manufacturing Day in Kendall County.
Outstanding.
It is outstanding.
That's a Friday, right?
Yeah.
Friday. I think you just read it. Friday, October 5th. All right. Anything else, Otter?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, with that,
I'm sure everybody has heard about Andres, but he's gone. So it's
too
late to give him any credit. But Mr. Beltran left our services on the 28th. That was his last day, and I personally was impressed with his breadth of knowledge. So he's been stolen from us, which is kind of a shame.
Manufacturer.
Okay, I'm done now. No, I just wanted to acknowledge that as a matter of record that we really appreciated his services. He was a talented administrator for economic development, and he will be missed.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. Minutes are approved. Special committee reports, KenCom, Executive Board.
I think the executive board is going to meet either this month or next month. They're working on their budget. That's all I have.
Okay. Historic preservation?
I was not at the last meeting, but I know that they were working on, you know, again, solidifying that February meeting for
the
historic preservation. Yeah, so everyone's invited, so it's going to be kind of an open meeting for, you know, to kind of get everybody together and come to agreement on
it.
It's going to be at the old historic courthouse again.
Okay.
And then we are working on the sesquicentennial homes and things.
Great.
Right.
Scott, anything additional?
But they're also working on some historic preservation awards.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the other big thing on that. And then I think they're going to...
Is there criteria for that, or is it...
I think that's what they're working on.
Oh.
Exactly what's going to happen with that, but I think it's something new they want to do. So.
Thank you. Juvenile Justice Council, Judy.
Yes. Well, the fundraising committee has been meeting fairly regularly, and we've set the date for the Sky Run, April 27th. It's going to be at Hoover again, so hope all of you can get out and participate.
You can ask us to open our wallets again?
Sure. Yeah, they're counting on us. So. And we're looking for sponsors also.
Great. April 27th. It's hard to think that far ahead already. Yeah. Spring. Chairman's report. I would like to have a motion to appoint, the first one, there is a typo, or the second one, I guess. It's actually James Bateman, not Jason Bateman.
I was really excited about that appointment.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you guys.
So can I have a motion to approve Bob Walker, Public Aid Appeals, 2-year term, expires September 2020. James Bateman, Bristol Kendall Fire Protection District Alternate, KenCom, Executive Board, ETSB. Scott Keppel, Chicago Regional Growth Corporation, CRGC, 2-year term expires October 2020. Scott Keppel, Upper Illinois River Valley Development Authority, IRVDA, 2-year term expires October 2020. Latrice Caldwell, Kendall Area Transit, Grant Program Compliance and Oversight Monitor, PCOM.
So moved.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Davidson. And Scott Keppel and Latrice got busy because of Andres leaving, so that we had to fill. He fills all these roles, so now that's why Scott and Latrice are in there.
Interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. What was it?
On to 2050.
Yes. I knew there was something else I wanted to talk about. The On to 2050 plan is being voted on Thursday, the 10th. And that is, if you'll recall, the 243 or so page document that is the planning document for the Chicagoland region, which includes Kendall County and the other Cook County and the other Collier counties. And I have had several discussions going back several months about the specifically about the MFT. And I know that this board has been very outspoken and just overall not in favor of the funding mechanisms, which were about two pages, but two of the most important pages in this this document as well. I have been asked to vote yes by both CMAP and by IDOT with an explanation. They suggested doing that. They also suggested that if I did vote no, that we do so with an explanation and say, you know, we're generally supportive, but because of this item, you know, we are not going to vote yes. So I wanted to get some, you know, get a consensus from the board as to how we should go with this. I know that there's been some really strong feelings about the VMT, but that's one portion of it. And when IDOT asked me to support it, they said, you know, if everybody voted against this plan because of some section that they don't like, then we would never get a plan because there's nothing that everybody likes. Fair point, but I think there's 240 pages or so that we like and we can appreciate, but there's a really, it's just a something that our board feels very strongly about. So, but before I you know, said definitively, I wanted to get some feedback from everybody. And I know, Matt, I saw your hand up first. Matthew? Yeah.
With the inclusion of the vehicle mileage tax in the, what is it, on the 2050 plan, that would, if just the fact that we voted for it, in my opinion, would lend support, would lend support to the VMT, even if we did state our objection to it. Because of the inclusion of the VMT, I recommend we take option two. Vote no as a county, but say we're generally supportive of the rest of the plan. It's just the inclusion of the vehicle mileage tax precludes Kendall County from supporting it in its entirety.
Mr. Keller?
I'd vote no also, and mainly for the reason of it's the funding portion of it. I mean, without that part, does any of the other happen? And if they're going to put forward a ridiculous idea like the vehicle mileage tax on our citizens, I think they're crazy, but yeah.
Mrs. Hendricks?
I have to concur, and I think we should vote no. And it's very nice of them to say that we should vote yes with an explanation, but this is such a sensitive issue. It's being used in campaign ads that I'm sure we've all seen. So it's not just us. And both sides of the aisle are viewing it as a very negative thing. They're advertising their candidacies specifically using that as a negative thing that shouldn't happen. And I can appreciate that there's some other good stuff in there, but I would have to agree with Member Prochaska. Voting yes on this is basically caving to that. And I, just on privacy issues alone, think it's worth a no vote. I mean, seriously, that's what the whole point of voting is, right? There is no consensus. So when you get consensus, you'll get a yes vote. But until then, you don't have consensus. And so I say vote no with a very strong explanation as to why.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yep, Scott, I would encourage you to do the right thing and vote no, because this board has been pretty clear about that. We're not in favor of that vehicle mileage tax at all. So, and I think you said earlier we were the only county that took that stand.
Right.
So publicly. Stick to your guns, vote no.
That's what I told the secretary on Friday. I had a meeting with the secretary and said that, you know, I feel like we're the squeaky wheel a little bit here, but somebody needs to be. And I just felt this, my board in particular, you know, I said that everybody feels really strongly about this, and I think it's going to be, you know, that was the route that I was thinking that we're going to go. And but before I did that, I wanted to make sure that everybody was still, you know, on that same page. And and the concern that I had kind of goes along with what several have said here, is, and what I said to him was that somebody in Springfield is not going to read all 243 pages of this. They're going to see this whole plan and that it was unanimous, and they're going to point out those two different pages and say 68% of the population of Illinois, you know, has supported this. And that's where my concern comes in, and he couldn't fault me or argue with that. The second thing was they're claiming in this plan that they'll repeal the MFT and the motor fuel tax and replace it with a VMT. The problem that I pointed out to him on Friday was that in the last General Assembly, they submitted the VMT tax as a bill. They did not submit any plan to repeal the motor fuel tax. So they've already, you know, kind of gone against what they're saying they're going to do. So whether it has a big effect or not, I don't know. But I think I'm getting a good consensus here from all of you. Matthew?
One other concern that I would have is, if we were to vote in favor of this, is that the state of Illinois would look, okay, Cook and the Collars plus Kendall County are in favor of this through their CMAQ proposal. The General Assembly, time and time again, has shown that they're more than willing to make special rules for different areas of the state. And so my main concern then, if we said we were in support of this, would be that Cook, the Collars, and then Kendall County would be carved out to have a VMT for their residents, and the rest of the state would not.
But, and that was a suggestion that was made to me, was that there could be different opt-outs, or perhaps they do a percentage of some kind of percentage breakdown. And I said, well, that's all fine, but that's not part of this plan. And if you have something like that and you want to bring it forward, you know, we'll listen to it, we'll look at it, because I think we all agree that there is a way that funding needs to take place. You know, but this just isn't the way to do it, I don't think. Audrey?
I'm going to make a point, Tony, by asking you a couple of questions. Sure. How many people that are voting on this were elected to office?
7, I think.
How many are voting total?
15, maybe? What's the total number of the board? Because, like, Pace, all the RTA, like the railroads, they all get a vote. They have one vote between they call them the major railroads or something. There are a number of non-electeds, in other words.
There's about half.
Right.
Yeah. So, you see my point? Mm-hmm. And maybe this is the kind of thing, I don't even know if it's appropriate to suggest this, but it just occurs to me that this would be a good item for a ballot measure. I mean, they're doing all this planning. Any of you, I dare you, go out and just walk around and ask your constituents how many of them have even heard about it and what it is and what it's going to do and how it's getting paid for. And this is being voted on where easily half the people voting on it weren't even elected. But they're going to plan for us, mm-hmm. and they're going to tax for us, and they're going to track us. I'm not even sure I agree with the plan entirely. I mean, this is my point. It must be nice to be able to sequester yourself away out of the public eye and come up with a plan and how you're going to pay for it, and not even have half of the people who are voting being held accountable to the public who are going to pay for it. Yeah, I don't think so.
Mr. Brazell?
I don't know.
You good? All right. Well, I think I have my marching orders then on that. Okay. Thank you. Other business. Citizens to be heard. Record show there's no one. Questions from the press?
Are you going to be voting at the CMAP?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there will be a kickoff event following.
Kickoff.
Kick you off the board?
Yeah. You're no longer Kendall.
The thing we're voting on. We're going to vote.
Executive session.
Going to vote yes.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Isn't the other county? Maybe.